Chapter 10. Same message onto the next house on his list. He did not know what the message meant at the time, nor what was happening. Which may as well, however, for clearness's sake, be explained here. The Prince of Orange being gone to Ireland, where the king was ready to meet him with a great army, it was determined that a great rising of His Majesty's party should take place in this country, and my lord was to head the force in our county. Of late he had taken a greater lead in affairs than before, having the indefatigable Mr. Holt at his elbow, and my lady Viscountess strongly urging him on, and my lord Sark being in the Tower a prisoner, and Sir Wilmot Crawley, of Queen's Crawley, having gone over to the Prince of Orange's side, my lord became the most considerable person in our part of the county for the affairs of the king. It was arranged that the regiment of Scots Greys and Dragoons, then quartered at Newbury, should declare for the king on a certain day, when likewise the gentry affected to His Majesty's cause were to come in with their tenants and adherents to Newbury, march upon the Dutch troops at Reading under Ginkle, and, these overthrown, and their indomitable little master away in Ireland, 'twas thought that our side might move on London itself, and a confident victory was predicted for the king. As these great matters were in agitation, my lord lost his listless manner and seemed to gain health. My lady did not scold him. Mr. Holt came to and fro, busy always, and little Harry longed to have been a few inches taller, that he might draw a sword in this good cause. One day, it must have been about the month of July, 1690, my lord, in a great horseman's coat, under which Harry could see the shining of a steel breastplate he had on, called little Harry to him, put the hair off the child's forehead, and kissed him, and bade God bless him in such an affectionate way as he never had used before. Father Holt blessed him too, and then they took leave of my lady Viscountess, who came from her apartment with a pocket handkerchief to her eyes, and her gentlewoman and Mrs. Tusher supporting her. "You are going to ride," says she. "H, that I might come to, but in my situation I am forbidden horse exercise." "We kiss my Lady Marchioness's hand," says Mr. Holt. "My lord, God speed you," she said, stepping up and embracing my lord in a grand manner. "Mr. Holt, I ask your blessing." And she knelt down for that, whilst Mrs. Tusher tossed her head up. Mr. Holt gave the same benediction to the little page, who went down, and held my lord's stirrups for him to mount. There were two servants waiting there too, and they rode out of Castlewood Gate. As they crossed the bridge, Harry could see an officer in scarlet ride up touching his hat, and address my lord. The party stopped, and came to some parley or discussion, which presently ended, my lord putting his horse into a canter, after taking off his hat and making a bow to the officer, who rode alongside him step for step. The trooper accompanying him falling back, and riding with my lord's two men. They cantered over the green, and behind the elms, my lord waving his hand, Harry thought, and so they disappeared. That evening we had a great panic, the cowboy coming at milking time riding one of our horses, which he had found grazing at the outer park wall. All night my lady Viscountess was in a very quiet and subdued mood. She scarce found fault with anybody. She played at cards for 6 hours. Little Page Esmond went to sleep. He prayed for my lord and the good cause, before closing his eyes. It was quite in the gray of the morning when the porter's bell rang, and old Lockwood, waking up, let in one of my lord's servants, who had gone with him in the morning, and who returned with a melancholy story. The officer who rode up to my lord had, it appeared, said to him that it was his duty to inform his lordship that he was not under arrest, but under surveillance, and to request him not to ride abroad that day. My lord replied that riding was good for his health, that if the captain chose to accompany him he was welcome, and it was then that he made a bow, and they cantered away together. When he came on to Wansey Down, my lord all of a sudden pulled up, and the party came to a halt at the crossway. "Sir," says he to the officer, "we are 4-2, Will you be so kind as to take that road and leave me go mine? Your road is mine, my lord, says the officer. Then, says my lord. But he had no time to say more, for the officer, drawing a pistol, snapped it at his lordship. As at the same moment Father Holt, drawing a pistol, shot the officer through the head. It was done, and the man dead in an instant of time. The orderly, gazing at the officer, looked seared for a moment, and galloped away for his life. Fire! Fire! Cries out Father Holt, sending another shot after the trooper, but the two servants were too much surprised to use their pieces, and my lord calling to them to hold their hands, the fellow got away. Mr. Holt, who I pensate out, says Blaze, gets off his horse, examines the pockets of the dead officer for papers, gives his money to us too, and says, the wine is drawn, M. le Marquis, apostrophe why did he say Marquis to M. le Vicomte? We must drink it. Apostrophe, the poor gentleman's horse was a better one than that I rode, Blaze continues. Mr. Holt bids me get on him, and so I gave a cut to Whitefoot, and she trotted home. We rode on towards Newbury. We heard firing towards midday. At 2 o'clock a horseman comes up to us as we were giving our cattle water at an inn and says, all is done. The Acasses declared an hour too soon General Ginkle was down upon them. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the whole thing was at an end. And we've shot an officer on duty, and let his orderly escape, apostrophe says my lord. Blaze, apostrophe says Mr. Holt, writing two lines on his table book, one for my lady and one for you, Master Harry. You must go back to Castlewood, and deliver these, apostrophe and behold me. And he gave Harry the two papers. He read that to himself, which only said, burn the papers in the cupboard, burn this. You know nothing about anything. Harry read this, ran upstairs to his mistress's apartment, where her gentlewoman slept near to the door, made her bring a light and wake my lady, into whose hands he gave the paper. She was a wonderful object to look at in her night attire, nor had Harry ever seen the like. As soon as he had the paper in her hand, Harry stepped back to the chaplain's room, opened the secret cupboard over the fireplace, burned all the papers in it, and, as he had seen the priest do before, took down one of his reverence's manuscript sermons, and half-burnt that in the brazier. By the time the papers were quite destroyed it was daylight. Harry ran back to his mistress again. Her gentlewoman ushered him again into her ladyship's chamber. She told him from behind her nuptial curtains to bid the coach be got ready, and that she would ride away anon. But the mysteries of her ladyship's toilet were as awfully long on this day as on any other, and, long after the coach was ready, my lady was still attiring herself. And just as the Viscountess stepped forth from her room, ready for departure, young John Lockwood comes running up from the village with news that a lawyer, three officers, and 24 and 20 soldiers, were marching thence upon the house. John had but 2 minutes the start of them, and, ere he had well told his story, the troop rode into our courtyard. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.